Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Tracy McClure. Thanks for joining me. Coming up over the next half hour, the why behind the outbreak of terrible interfaith violence in the Indian state of Orissa. We hear an analysis from a representative of the Catholic Bishops' Conference as Pope Benedict and Indian church leaders call for an end to the strife and even greater dialogue. And is the Muslim world showing signs of opening up towards Christians? One Catholic leader in the Middle East says there's room for hope. We begin today with Pope Benedict, who on Wednesday launched an appeal for peace in the Indian state of Orissa, tormented by recent Hindu-Christian violence. Eimear McCarthy has more on what the Holy Father had to say.
Pope Benedict XVI spoke of his profound sorrow at news of attacks on the Christian community in the Indian state of Orissa. The Pope deplored the murder of a radical Hindu leader Saturday last, an episode which sparked over 4 days of deadly violence across the tense state. There, Hindu mobs, angered at their leader's killing, took to the streets targeting Christian religious and lay in a series of attacks that so far have left 11 people dead, nearly all Christians, and led to the destruction of homes, churches and orphanages.
Condanno con fermezza ogni attacco alla vita umana.
In his appeal Wednesday, Pope Benedict said that the sacredness of every human life must be respected and that every attack on human life condemned. Pope Benedict expressed his spiritual closeness to all those brothers and sisters in the faith who are so sorely tried. Moreover, he prayed that the Lord accompany them and support them in this time of trial, and he implored local civil authorities and religious leaders to work together to re-establish peaceful coexistence between the different communities of Orissa, which, he underlined, has long been a distinctive mark of Indian society.
Che sono sempre stati segno distintivo della società indiana.
The Pope's heartfelt appeal was launched Wednesday morning from the dais of the Paul VI Audience Hall. He had travelled to the Vatican from his summer residence high in the Roman hills to resume his weekly appointment with pilgrims. Before this summer break, the Pope had announced that on his return, he would be dedicating his weekly catechesis to a series of lessons on the life and work of St. Paul of Tarsus, whose anniversary is being celebrated this year throughout the Universal Church.
Today's catechesis presents the life of St. Paul, the great missionary whom the Church honours in a special way this year. Born a Jew in Tarsus, he received the Hebrew name Saul and was trained as a tent maker. Around the age of 12, he departed for Jerusalem to begin instruction in the strict Pharisaic tradition, which instilled in him a great zeal for the Mosaic law. On the basis of this training, Paul viewed the Christian movement as a threat to Orthodox Judaism.
Pope Benedict noted how Saul fiercely persecuted the Church of God until a dramatic encounter on the road to Damascus radically changed his life.
He subsequently undertook 3 missionary journeys, preaching Christ in Anatolia, Syria, Cilicia, Macedonia, Achaia, and throughout the Mediterranean. After his arrest and imprisonment in Jerusalem, Paul exercised his right as a Roman citizen to appeal his case to the emperor. Paul exercised his right as so Luke makes no reference to Nero's decision. He tells us that Paul spent 2 years under house arrest in Rome, after which, according to tradition, he suffered a martyr's death. Paul spared no energy and endured many trials in his anxiety for all the churches. Indeed, he wrote, "I do everything for the sake of the gospel."
Pope Benedict concluded by inviting the men and women before him to emulate the apostle to the Gentiles by striving to do the same. The Pauline year runs to June 29, 2009. I'm Emer McCarthy.
Pope Benedict's appeal for an end to the interreligious violence in India follows a series of attacks on Christian churches, homes, and property, and, as we heard, the burning of an orphanage in the eastern Indian state of Orissa, the site of similar violence last year. In a statement Tuesday, the Holy See's press office deplored what it called the actions of extremists in the recent violence against the Christian minority in Orissa. The Holy See expressed solidarity with the local churches there and appealed for a climate of dialogue and mutual respect. The president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue has also condemned the attacks. Chris Altieri reports.
In the eastern Indian state of Orissa on Monday, a group of suspected Hindu hardliners set fire to a Christian orphanage, killing a woman and seriously injuring a priest. The president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue, Cardinal Jean-Louis Tauran, called the attack a sin against God and humanity and said there is no possible justification for it. The cardinal urged that the problem of violence against Christians be addressed, saying the problem is currently largely ignored.
Sono stato in India a New Delhi tre settimane fa. Ho incontrato due gruppi di leader religiosi.
Speaking on the sidelines of the Communion and Liberation Movement's annual meeting in Rimini, Italy, Cardinal Tauran said he met with two Hindu religious groups when in India recently, the spiritual leaders of which, he said, told him nothing about such attacks, which are not happening for the first time. The latest incident occurred during a strike called by the World Hindu Council to protest the killing Saturday of a Hindu religious leader and four others by suspected communist rebels in the state. Police said a crowd of Hindu hardliners converged on the orphanage, asking nearly 20 residents to leave the complex and then setting it on fire with the woman and priest locked inside. The 21-year-old lay teacher died and the priest was hospitalized with serious burns.
Io penso che il consiglio che presiedo dovrà certamente intensificare I contatti con questo mondo indù.
The cardinal president of the Pontifical Council for Interreligious Dialogue said in the wake of the incident he will seek to intensify his contacts with Hindu leaders. I'm Chris Altieri.
Emer McCarthy, meanwhile, reports that some Hindu leaders in Orissa have been encouraging their followers to carry out revenge attacks against Christians for the murder last weekend of a radical Hindu leader who had campaigned to reconvert Hindus who had left their faith for Christianity.
Police say Maoist rebels are responsible for his death and local Christians have condemned his murder, but this has done little to calm marauding Hindu bands. Archbishop of Cuttack Bushbaneshwar Raphael Chinath warns that this spate of violence is far worse than previous violence of December 2007 because this time Hindu nationalists are targeting people, not properties.
Sister has been burned alive and another priest is hospitalized. And our pastoral center and social service center, one convent, one church, burned again in Nayagad as another convent run by the Holy Family sisters. And they were attacked with Christian houses, looted, burned, attacked physically the inmates. In another place that is called Duburi, where the priest was running a hostel, sisters ran away. We don't know where they are. The miscreants came and chased away all the children. 50 children were there. Now we don't know where the children are. In Kondamal district, where the December attack took place, the director of pastoral center, Father Thomas, has been hit on his head. And one sister, I hope it is not true, she was raped. In terms of passion and anger, it is far more serious than what happened in Christmas time in December. In December, they did not attack any personnel. Here the target is personnel, and therefore I am afraid many more attacks on personnel would be there. The government, in some cases, they did protect the fathers or sisters, In some cases, they said, we don't have any force and we cannot protect you. The crowd is coming and therefore you please save yourself.
Vice President of India's Catholic Bishops Conference, Cardinal Oswald Gracias, Archbishop of Bombay, says he and other church leaders have been lobbying the government to do more to stop the violence and keep the peace.
What has happened is, I've said and I'm saying again, it's an embarrassment and a shame for our country that we could have such lawlessness and people just were doing what they wanted without any sort of law and order at all. The state machinery seems to have completely collapsed. The Christians were at the receiving end. So I've appealed to the Chief Minister, we've appealed to the Prime Minister, to the President to please intervene. Our conference secretariat has been meeting ministers, lobbying with the government and trying to see what can happen. They're meeting the Prime Minister, they met leaders of opposition. So really, they're pressing on them the necessity of please acting immediately and safeguarding lives of people. I hope something happens immediately. Certainly, we can't at all understand this insanity, it's diabolical insanity that has taken place over there.
Cardinal Oswald Gracias of Bombay, India. Though you don't often hear much about them, there are millions of Christians in India, a community which has grown from the time Jesus' apostle, the doubting Thomas, first set foot on Indian soil. Today, Christians make up some 24 million people. That may sound like a lot, but they account for less than 3% of the majority Hindu population. Muslims, who form the largest religious minority, account for 11% of the population. Other religious groups, including Jains, Buddhists, Sikhs, Parsis, and Jews, together make up a mere 4%. Well, in recent years, Christian leaders in India have expressed dismay that some elements in society have been twisting religion for political ends. Extremist Hindu nationalists have been accused of fueling a climate of hatred against Christians, whom they blame for India's past history of colonial rule. They also say some religious minorities enjoy greater social privileges than Hindus. Well, as we've seen, dozens of Christian homes, churches, and clergy have come under attack in recent years in areas like the eastern Indian state of Orissa. Nuns and priests have been brutally murdered in church buildings and property burnt to the ground. Well, to explore some of the complicated background of the tensions between Christians and Hindus in some parts of India, I talked with a spokesman for the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Andhra Pradesh, Father Anand Mutungal, who gives us some insight.
What has taken place in the recent times, the fundamentalism has risen to a very great extent. It is a fundamentalism by the Hindu movements, very especially something called Hindutva. Their movement has become very strong in Madhya Pradesh and in the nearby Hindi belt. So it's a result of this uprising of the Hindu movements that is causing a great trouble and violence in the state here.
To what extent do you think this current tension is the result of fears about Christian evangelization or conversion of Hindus to Christianity?
See, to tell you the fact, you know, there are no much forced conversions taking place in India as a whole, and very especially in this Hindi-speaking area in Madhya Pradesh. Now, why they are accusing, it has become a political issue. They want to politically accuse the Christians of conversion. The accusation of conversion is not real, but it is a political agenda, a religious political agenda, which is persuaded by the Hindutva movement, very especially RSS, VHP, Bajrang Dal, and this movement.
Do you think that India's caste system comes into play in these tensions?
I don't think a caste system plays a major role into this one. It is a fanatic movement that has come up in the basis of like Nazism, fascism, in this level. It is trying to prove that Hindus are today much, much bigger, greater and they are higher than the other community. They are trying to impose their views on the Christians now. That is, it's an imposition of culture. It's a cultural invasion, I must say, cultural war. We must go back to the almost, you know, the 200 years of history of India, where the Christianity came to India. It definitely had no tolerance with the Hindu community. It has been trying to dominate the Hindu culture. Now the Hindu community began to feel now they are in a position where they can dominate the Christians now. And it is a way they are trying to impose their culture and their dominance in the community. So it is a long historical war.
Heard certain priests in India say that the people who have converted from Hinduism to Christianity many of them come from the lower castes in India, who are far more unfortunate than many of the upper caste Hindus, and that they're doing so of their own free will. Yeah. What does Christianity offer these low caste Hindus that they don't find in their own religion?
See, madam, what is happening, that Christianity gives them an equal status in the society. And those people who feel that they have been ill-treated because they are coming from the low caste, and their poverty to a great extent has paved a way for to change their religion into Christianity. But unfortunately, I must honestly and humbly accept, those people who got converted from this lower caste has not been able to be inculcated very well into the Catholic Church, neither into the Protestant churches. They are still considered a low class in many of the areas.
Why is that, Father? Is there something within our churches, the Christian churches, that prevents these people from being considered as equals?
See, madam, what is happening is the clergy and you know, the sisters, the nuns, all these categories, most of them have come from an upper economically and socially well area. They have been quite well in that area. So this particular group that is coming into this group doesn't seem to be financially and in socially doesn't seem to be that sound. This has paved the way for another sort of thinking in the church, that this low-caste people who are coming to low-caste needs to be considered. And second point, adding to this, there is the reservation set by the government of India. Those who are in the SC, means the scheduled caste people, get the reservation from the government.
Dalits are among India's poorest Hindu castes. Once known as the untouchables or the oppressed, many have converted to Christianity freely because Christian clergy say Christians do not or should not recognize social inequalities such as castes. For this reason, Christians are not included in India's government policy on castes, which provides social assistance and educational advantages, and guarantees a number of government and civil jobs for members of deprived castes. So ironically, if a Hindu becomes Christian, he will lose the government benefits attributed to his social class.
Now, the people who adopt the faith of Christianity also manage to get this concession from the government. So they do not reveal that they are Christian. They write still in their documents that they are Hindu. And they get the benefit of the benefit that the government gives them in the name of reservation for the scheduled caste. This is also one reason why Christians are still wants to persuade that they are from the low caste. And church also is supporting this movement, because church has set up a commission in the CBCI where they are arguing for the benefit of the people who are converted from the lower classes.
So-called Dalit Christians have launched appeals to the government to reinstate their former social benefits in order to improve their employment opportunities.
I don't really honestly think the church has honestly worked to reduce these disparities existing in the society either.
Well, it sounds like the church has some internal reforming to do, but also a greater commitment to ensuring the political and civil rights of poor Christians on a social level.
I would rather, you know, add to what your question is. There is also an element of, you know, conversion taking place from the Protestant circle. These conversions are mainly being engineered by offering some things. And these conversions mostly are funded, conversion groups are funded by the USA, Canada, all these missions from these countries, wherein independent churches are coming up. And they are pumping in money for some time when the conversions and they are withdrawn. And the people who get converted, then they start making problems for the church. And Catholic Church being an established church, they face a lot of problem. Therefore, suppose this tension has to be stopped in India on these levels of conversion, this sort of funding by these independent churches also needs to be stopped. Otherwise, this tension between communities and between religions will keep on growing.
Well, I know that the World Council of Churches is working on a set of guidelines on conversion together with the Vatican. Are you familiar with that project? And what do you think?
I have been through. I will go through the internet to find out what is the policy of the World Council of Churches. But the question comes here, the pastors were working independently in different parts of the world. They find their counterpart in our country, in India, and they start funding, who may not be part of the World Council of Churches at all. And they really start converting people in the lines of giving them something, all this, only for a certain short period. Afterwards, they withdraw. And World Council of Churches, how is it going to control the mission activities that is carried on by the independent churches in India? Therefore, I rather would say, it is the duty of the governments like U.S. government, Canada government, they must frame policies to stop such sort of frog activities done by their missionaries in India. That would be rather better if we want peace in India.
Okay, that's an interesting point of view. Are there other things that, for example, the World Council of Churches or the Vatican could do to help calm these tensions in India between the religious communities?
See, in India, Vatican, let it be Vatican, Missouri, or any of these agencies working in the world, they are putting millions and millions of rupees for the development of the developmental projects in India. But I'm very, very unfortunate to say, none of these agencies are seriously thinking of doing something to community building here, communal harmony building. They are not bothered. They want a village to be developed. They want a social work to be done. But why not the Indian, these agencies, including Vatican, take up the issue of communal harmony as a main mission in India and work on this point for 10 to 15 years? I am absolutely sure there will be sort of communal harmony existing in India, because neither Vatican nor any of these countries are really bothered on what is the problem faced by the people in India. They are only worried to execute some projects in India, not the real problem of the people of the country.
Well, how do you see such a communal harmony project working, Father?
See, what I feel is, you know, there are a lot of religious leaders. There are so many social organizations, social persons, journalists. There are people who are really interested to build a communal harmony in the country. It is not all the Hindus are fanatics. Neither all Muslims are fanatics, nor neither all Christians are non-fanatic. Because fanatical elements are there, but we have got a major section of people who are eager to help and build a community. And these funding agencies should trace those people and make a union of people who are working for communal harmony, which is lacking in India. Neither there. Let it be any agencies funding in India, very, very little funds they give for like this work. Major funds are given for different projects, which does not have any bearing in the Christian community nor in the society to build communal harmony.
Father, you have called for the church to remember its martyrs as heroes. How would you like the Christian community there in India to remember its martyrs?
The church in India has got a lot of martyrs. Martyrs means who really died for the church. And there are great martyrs like Deacon St. Lawrence, you know, St. Stephen. These great martyrs' story also need to be retold to the Christian community in India. Strengthen their faith. That would be one way church can become powerful in the matter of faith.
Father Anand Mutungal is a spokesman for the Catholic Bishops' Conference of Andhra Pradesh. while we've seen the eruption of renewed violence between Hindus and Christians in India, one Catholic churchman in the Middle East says he's encouraged by steps some Muslim leaders in the region are taking to open up towards Christians. Kelsey Brennan-Wessels has more on that.
The Apostolic Vicar for Arabia and Yemen, Bishop Paul Hinder, spoke about Christians in the Arab world during a special event at this week's CNL-sponsored meeting for Friendship Among Peoples in the Italian town of Rimini on the Adriatic coast just south of Ravenna. One of the questions posed to Bishop Hinder during the question-and-answer session regarded the future of Christianity in the country where Islam was founded, in which Islam is the official religion and the law requires that all Saudi citizens be Muslims.
There is a change, a slow change. One historical step surely has been the moment when the King of Saudi Arabia has visited the Pope in last November. And I can see there is a clear will also by the King of Saudi Arabia and by his collaborators to change slowly the situation. We won't have justice and peace in the world without the collaboration of the big monotheistic religions. We should not be afraid to take every step in this direction where we can improve our mutual understanding, even if it is not always very easy.
Saudi Arabia does not provide legal recognition or protection for freedom of religion. Under current Saudi law, conversion by a Muslim to another religion is a crime punishable by death.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thanks for listening. I'm Tracy McClure. If you'd like to hear this and other programs on our website, the address is www.vaticanradio.org. Again, thanks for listening.
Been listening to the English program of Vatican Radio. Laudator Jesus Christus.